Isn't God good? Oh, are we up, Don? We're not up? Okay. Well, we're going to keep on going anyway. Let's go ahead and this is the introduction. I started working on a sermon, and this actually, night before last, came to me as the intro. So the intro usually winds up being pretty long, too. So this is the intro. There's going to be another couple of weeks. And we're still talking about excuses. And I hate to think about all the times that we messed out with God because we were busy making excuses. Amen? How many in here, if you really thought about it, there's times you could have done a whole lot more if you hadn't have been making excuses? There's a difference in reason and excuses. Reasons are something usually that comes up that you can't help. Excuses usually just, I don't want to do it, so I got to come up with something. Amen? And so this is very, very, very important this year that we don't come up with every kind of excuse that we can think of because it will harm us in the long run. Before we get started, I've been going back over some of the old oldies but goldies. And this is one. I wish Vicki was here because she could hear her say either that was good or burn the book. I'm reading these before I burn the book, okay? Grandma looked out her window and saw Johnny. I'm kind of glad that the internet's not up right now because I don't think my wife would appreciate this joke. Ready? Grandma looked out her window and saw Johnny digging a hole in his backyard. She went and asked Johnny what was he doing. He said he was burying his parakeet. She said she saw that the hole he was digging was a great big hole. And she said, matter of fact, she said it's too big for just a bird. She said, Johnny, this is a whole lot bigger than a little bird. Johnny looked at her and said, yeah, but the bird was in your cat. All right. Amen, amen, amen. Well, thank you. Now, do you understand what it means to worship? Let's stand up. We're going to pray. Stand up. Father, we give this day to you, Lord. You're in charge 100%. Lord, we know, God, that we can do nothing without you, God. We've got to have you, Lord. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless this service today. Lord, there's been all kinds of things that could hinder it and stop it. But, Lord, we know, God, that you're in total control, and we're not going to let any of this get in the way because we know that you're in total control, and we thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, there's no excuses. Father, we're going to worship you in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And I'm not going to make any more excuses. Amen. Here we go. All right. Five powerful effects on the believer. Now, it's part one, but it's actually the introduction. Let me ask you a question. This came to me the other night. I was reading my Bible and I was working on my sermon, and this came to me and I reckon because I think about, you know, the fire department and the police department and the detention center, and I think about that and think about some how the snow had affected a lot of things. And so here's a question for you. Get ready. Would you like to go into a fire without a hose? Especially a fully engulfed house fire, building fire. Would you like to go into that building without a charged hose? Would you? Okay. Next. Would you like to jump out of a plane without a parachute? Some of you say, I ain't jumping out anyway. Well, you never know. I did see one time, and this is the honest truth, to talk about some of the strange things that's happened over the years. This one man decided, this is a true story, he decided he was going to actually take and record him on the way down. He's going to record himself and record everybody around him on the way down. So he put all of his equipment on, put everything on his fancy equipment. He had all this stuff so he can record pictures and record videos. And he jumps out the plane. As he jumps out the plane, he realizes the one thing he forgot. His parachute. I kid you not. So there was a nice little video of him hitting the ground. And Linda and I saw it. It was kind of, So, you wouldn't go into a fire without a hose. You wouldn't want to jump out of a plane without a parachute. This week, would you like to go into the snow without a coat and boots? No. So the list goes on. You can think of things. All of you can think of things. You can tell me things that you can think of that you wouldn't want to go into without certain things. And my question is, would you like to face the world without God? I've tried it. It's not good. Just because he's with me doesn't mean bad doesn't happen, but I'd much rather face the bad with him than to face the good without him. And I definitely don't want to face the bad without him. So you don't want to face, y'all are being positive about saying you don't want to face the world without God. Now, get ready. Here's the biggie. Would you like to face God without worship? Would you, knowing that God's here, knowing that God is with us, you know that he's working, you see him, you know it. Would you like him to be, or be you to be in his presence and not worship him? Wow, that's a very powerful, powerful, powerful thing. So here we go. Get ready. Think of all the things. Remember, this is the introduction. Remember all the things that God's given us. He's given us life. He's given us breath. If you've got kids, he's given you kids. If you got a home, he's giving you, you work, yes, but he's given that, really. He's given all that to you. You got a good job, he gave that to you. He put you in the right place at the right time to get that right job, the right place at the right time to get that right mate, the right place at the right time to whatever. God gives us everything. So if God gives us everything, it's like it got to a time there with my dad, I didn't know what to get him for Christmas because he had everything. He got four children. Between the four children and himself, if he needed something, he got it. DC and Daniel said the same thing about me. If I need a tool, I get it. If I need something, I get it. And so at Christmas time, it's hard to get for me because the things I really, really need, I go ahead and get because I don't want to beg borrow to get something. I want to have it so I can go ahead and do what I got to do and keep it clean and put it back up. So look, think of all that God has given you. Knowing that God gave you life, God gave you that brain you got that sometimes you don't use. God gave you everything. Knowing that God gave you everything, what's the only thing? The only thing. I know there's going to be people disputing this. They're going to want to argue about it, But the truth is, the only thing you can give God that he hadn't already give you. Worship. It's the only thing. We can talk the talk. We can talk all kinds of things. Well, I'm going to give him, I'm giving him back. I'm giving him 10%. I'm going to give him 15%. Well, guess what? Who gave it to you to start with? God did. Well, I'm going to do this and that. Who gave it to you? God. So what is it that we can give God that he didn't give us? Worship. So, because worship is so important and because God loves it so much, he's got angels. That's all they do all day long is worship him. But the difference is they have to worship him. We don't. They don't have a choice. We've got a choice. So, knowing this truth, listen carefully. What can be our excuse not to worship him? How many times have you gone to God in the last week and told him your petition, what you needed? How many times this week have you read his word and you saw, you just enjoyed having that word and being able to read that word and be refreshed with that word? How many times this week have you seen God move even when you didn't deserve him to move? So what is our excuse not to worship this kind of God? It's a powerful thing. It's a powerful, powerful thought. So, knowing it's the only thing we can give him, we need to give it to him. Now, we're going to go into it deeper in the next few weeks, but this, like I said, this is just introduction. So just know that it's going to get a lot deeper. But right now, we're just skimming the surface because we're trying to get it started. Now, remember the story about Abraham and Isaac. There, God told him, after he gave him that son, he said, I want you to take him up on that mountain, Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him to me. Can you imagine that had to tear his nerves all to pieces? God said, I want you to take that son, your only son, your beloved son, and I want you to sacrifice him unto me, which meant kill him. Wow. And so he goes on a three-day journey. We'll talk about that maybe later, but he goes, and then when he gets to the mountain, he does not hesitate. He takes his son, puts the wood on his son's back, and he goes up the mountain, tells his people, y'all stay here, and said, me and my son are going to worship. Genesis 22 is actually the first mention of worship. Although it was indicated, it's the first mention of worship in the Bible. Worship means to bow down, to adore. But if you look at Abraham's act, and I don't want to get too far into that either because that could be part of this, I'm not sure, is Abraham's act of worship was a whole lot different than just bowing down because it was an act of trust. He really had to trust God. Can you imagine going 3 days, a three-day journey, knowing that you're going to kill your son and offer him to God? Wow. Wow. I can't even imagine. So it's an act of trust. It's an act of self-denial because he'd waited so long for this child. And now that he's got this child, God says, give it back. Worship also was an act of giving up his own will for God's will. Have you ever thought about that in worship? It's more than just your mouth. It's more than just you jumping around. It's more than just you seeing what you can say. It is trusting God, denying yourself, but not only denying yourself, giving up your own will for God's will. That's a powerful thought. That's deep. That's some of the deepest thought of worship, knowing that this is the very first time. You look in the Bible, if you want to realize what God, how God works, any kind of anything in the Bible, you look at the very beginning, the very first time, you look at the very last time, and then look in between. That's how you find out how you make a doctrine on things. And the doctrine of worship always starts at Genesis 22, which is trust, self-denial, giving up your own will. But I love what he said. Now again, Isaac was 17 years old. Abraham was an old man. Don't you know that Isaac could have overpowered his dad? But he didn't. He was going to father all Abraham's following his father's will, and Isaac is following his father's will. Think about it. But I love this. 22 verse 5, I and the lad go yonder to worship. He knows he's going to kill him. He knows he's going to put a knife to his throat, drain all the blood out of him, and offer him as a sacrifice to God. But knowing that, still, he says, I and the lad go yonder to worship, and we will come back down. Think about it. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to have to kill him. But he knew that he knew trusted God so much that if God said, trust me to the point where you give me your son, trust me to the point that even if you have to kill him, I will raise him up and give him back. And because he did, God spared his son, but a few thousand years later, his son died in that same spot. Wow. So now, that's worship. So, let's just look at right now five things that worship does now, okay? Number one, get ready. Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one of them had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can you imagine this sight? Number one thing about worship. It has the power to transform our hearts. You know, I watch and I see and I see people that are hard-hearted. I've been hard-hearted myself before. And as I began to worship, the ice would begin to melt. Why? Because when you worship, it clarifies our vision of God. I'm not going to worship a man. I'm not going to worship me. I try my best to never let my worship point but only in one direction, and that's up. So worship transforms our heart, helps us see God as he really is. This verse right here, Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up or exalted and saw that he was holy. What he saw is that God was more than enough. Oh, he may not fix it right now. There's been a lot of things he hadn't fixed right now. There's been a lot of times I wondered if he even saw. But you don't judge God's faithfulness in the middle of the battle. That's where you trust. You trust in the middle of the battle. You move forward in the middle of the battle. But you see his goodness and mercy looking backwards. And has he ever let you down? That's how you judge his faithfulness, by looking backwards. And so with all that in mind, think about this. When God works on us, especially when we worship, it transforms us from the inside out. Although we worship and although our worship's out where people can see it, it transforms us from the inside out. And it can turn your brokenness into beauty. Some of the greatest times with my kids is when I had to tell them, no, we can't do this, or no, we can't do that, or no, I can't afford that right now, or I just can't do it right now. And that's okay, Daddy. I still love you. And I know that you've got my best interest in your heart. And I trust you, Daddy. When we told Bethany she was going to die, I said, what was the first thing you told me when you saw me the very first time? She said, I said, you were my big daddy, and you wouldn't let anybody hurt me. And I said, well, your big daddy's still here. And she said, I know. And she held my hand, and she squeezed it really hard. And I said, but big daddy can't stop this cancer. And she said, that's okay, big daddy. You're still here. You're not running. You're still here. And I said, I'll be here until I let go of your hand and put it in Jesus' hand. I will be with you. Your mother will be with you. Your family will be with you. You see, she knew. Couldn't fix it. Mom couldn't fix it. The brothers couldn't fix it. Nobody could fix it. But even in her brokenness, there was beauty. And so, first, worship transforms our heart. How many could really use a heart transplant right now. Don't point at anybody. How many could really use a heart transplant right now? Your heart's gotten hard. Your heart's gotten crusty. Your heart's gotten cold. I dare you to worship God. And you ain't got to wait for somebody else to do it. You worship God. Put that hand up and you worship Him. And watch what'll happen. Because God will start melting that cold, cold heart. And the Bible says, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe unto me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs with tongs from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy mouth, thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also heard a voice of the Lord saying, shall I sin, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am. Send me. Not only to transform your heart, it brings you closer to God. You know, I noticed something as a parent. I noticed as a child, but I just thought it was just me and my brothers, you know, because us three sometimes could be a little crazy. But I noticed that when time came where I not only where I had to say no, sometimes I had to even discipline. And when I disciplined, what I found out was if the kids had been far away from me and when I disciplined them, it seemed to improve our connection. Parents are scared to discipline their children because they're scared to lose that connection, not realizing that when you do it properly, you build that connection. Properly, not crazy, properly, you build that connection. Here he is. He sees what's going on. He knows, I don't even need to be here. And the angel comes and grabs the coals with the tongue and puts it on his lips. He said, here I am, Lord. I'm ready. You see, worship brings us closer to God. It's like a bridge that connects us to Him. Why? Because it changes our perspective. Isaiah realized and he confessed his nature, and God cleansed him. And when God cleansed him, he emboldened him. If we could just look, all this is going on because of worship. Not because somebody beat you to death with legalism. Not because somebody beat you to death with a Bible over your head. This is all coming from worship. This is something that you do with God with nobody around. It can be just you and God. But you and God, when you're worshiping God, look at what can happen. So God cleansed him and emboldened him. And he gained a new perspective, going from cautious to courageous. Man, oh man, if we understood the power of worship and what worship can do for us, wow, it will take you farther than you've ever imagined. If, no matter how bad things are, if you can just worship God, things will start changing. Psalm 103 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, forgetting all his benefits, who forgives us all our sins and heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from the pit and crowns us with love and compassion. When you begin to worship God, it strengthens your faith. You're ready to face whatever life throws at us. That's why it's so important. My wife and I pray every morning before I leave that house. We pray. We pray the Lord's Prayer. That's the very first thing we do, is pray the Lord's Prayer, because it covers everything. But then, in that prayer, we're still worshiping God. And when you worship God, you're ready to face whatever life throws at us. That's why daily devotions, before you get started, are so important, because it strengthens your faith before you need it. Okay? So, The psalmist recounts the benefits and blessings from God, forgiveness, healing, redemption, renewal, which leads to praising God's holy name. I thank God because I'm not in that pit anymore. I thank God because of all the times he has healed me. I thank God for the redemption and for renewal in my life. You know, you may be sick right now, but can you imagine how sick you'd be if God hadn't touched you? You may have injury right now, but can you imagine how bad it would have been if God hadn't reached in and protected? Yes, my knee hurts. Yes, it does. Y'all got things that hurt too. But you know what? If God hadn't have been there, I might not even be walking, because there was times it would have been a whole lot worse than this. You know, which is some of the reason why I don't have any is bone on bone, because some of the crazy things I used to do. How many here has ever done anything crazy to your body and then blame the devil? Now, I was just done some stupid things, okay? Just done stupid things. And God's taking care of that too. Now, Psalm 73, 23 to 24. Yes, I'm always with you. I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand, and you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me up into glory. He reassures us of God's presence when I'm down. I remember one time I'd been dry. I mean, dry, dry. I still played the bass. I weren't a pastor at the time. I was still playing the bass, and I was still doing some filling in, and I was still doing some things. I was still doing good work and projects at work, but I was just dry. I was drier than a pound of cracker juice. I was dry. And I didn't understand it. I even worshiped God, and it felt like it was going nowhere. And one of my friends from high school came to church that one day. And I was saying, God, you got to show me how to break this dryness, because it's driving me crazy, this dryness. And my friend from high school, who was a bad dude, came in. And at altar call, he didn't just walk to the altar. He ran to the altar. And he's at the altar, and he's got his hand up, and he's crying. And I felt such a strong need to go behind him. I got behind him. I put my arms around him. And I said, what do you need, man? He says, I need God. Will you help me? And as we prayed the sinner's prayer, God broke the dryness. I mean, he didn't just a little dabble, do you? He broke the dryness. And I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried. And all those months of dryness were filled up in just a few minutes. But not only was I worshiping him, I was leading somebody else in worship to him. When we give our worship, God gives us, when we give him our worship, God gives us his presence. And when he gives us his presence, there's healing for our hearts. Next, I'm going to the end right now. Thou show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16 and 11. Worship produces joy. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, there's peace that passes all understanding. I never understood that peace that passes all understanding till one day I got that peace, and somebody said, how in the world did you get this peace in the middle of what you're going through? And I said, I don't understand. I can't figure it out. That was a peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to give you some little quickie advice, and then we're going to pray. We need to pick me up in the middle of your battle, in the middle of your disappointments, in the middle of your hurt and your pain. How many daily, maybe you have to go get you a drink, Dr. Pepper or something. So I need a pick-me-up. In about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm getting kind of sleepy. I need to pick me up. Or maybe you're getting kind of hungry. You go get you a pack of potato chips, something, a pick-me-up. Or if you see your spouse is having a bad day and they can use a pick-me-up, you send them flowers or something like that, a pick-me-up. How many in here have ever been in the middle of a battle, in the middle of disappointments, in the middle of hurt and pain, and you're saying, God, I might be the only one that's ever done this, but I'll say, God, are you watching? Do you see this? Are you paying attention? Do you see what's going on here? Has anybody ever? David did it all the time. Look in Psalms. He did it all the time. God, are you watching? Can you see this? Do you understand this? A few moments of worship can improve your perspective and bring joy. Matter of fact, I'm to coin a phrase from a paper towel company. Worshiping God, the quicker picker-upper. If you can learn to praise God when you don't feel like it, when you can learn to praise God when you don't want to, when you can learn to praise God when you're hurting so bad you don't feel like talking to a soul, when you can praise God, I promise you, worshiping God will be the quicker picker-upper. So, Brandon, get ready to come up here, buddy. Here's our assignment for the week. Watch this. Worship is forgetting about what's wrong with you and remembering what's right with God. Let it sink in. Read that again and again and again. Worship is about forgetting what's wrong with you and remembering what's right with God. So the assignment this week. Very first thing, check your focus. I ain't got to beat you over the head with the Bible. Your spouse don't have to beat you over the head. Question, what do you focus on the most? Your problems or the problem solver? Do you focus on your pain or do you focus on praise? Do you focus on everything that can be wrong and beat yourself up or do you focus on God? In His Word. A lot of times it's hard to focus on God's Word if you don't read it. I get what I need on Sunday. No, you don't. You get some of what you need on Sunday. You need God every day. I think we had a sign out there one time before. If we're not, we're going to put it up. God desires full custody, not weekend visits. Check your focus. And then grow your focus. Well, we're busy growing our focus in the wrong direction. I'll never get out of this. It'll never get any better. God, you don't see me. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Check that focus. If you see you going in the wrong direction, you know how guys are. Guys don't want to stop and ask for directions. One day Linda said, "You're going in the wrong direction, son." And so I sped up. And she said, "Well, how's that going to help?" I said, "Well, wherever I'm going, I'll get there faster." That was not the solution. The solution was stop and turn around. Yeah, I'm lost, but look how fast we're going. Yeah, ain't that great? Check your focus. What are you focusing on? God or your problems? Your problems or the problem solver, which is God, not you. Secondly, grow it. When I get it turned in the right direction, then start doing more. Yes, God, I love you. Yes, God, I trust you. I don't understand it, but I trust you. And then lock your focus. Once you get it on God, don't let anybody take your attention off of him. And you just keep growing and growing. Don't let anybody else come in and talk you out of it. You keep it up. God, I love you. I trust you. I don't understand what's going on. I don't even understand what you're doing. I don't even see your hand, but I trust you. Because when you can't see God's hand, you can trust his heart. Worship serves as a profound method of connecting with God. God ain't talked to me lately. We'll try worshiping him and reading his word. Engaging in moments of praise can provide a clear perspective and shift our focus from individual circumstances to the divine sovereignty of the Lord. Get your mind off of what's going bad and get your mind on what's going right. Instead of complaining and complaining and complaining about what's going bad, start praising God and saying, God, I don't understand. I don't understand it, but I'm going to give it to you. I want everybody to stand. Everybody to stand. Now, we're going to get very candid right now. Nobody can see you because the camera, the only person they can see is me and Brandon in the back of Steve's head. I have to watch where I stand so Steve's head won't get in the way. Let's see. All right. But nobody looking. Everybody else just wants you to look this way. Matter of fact, now you can close your eyes. Just close your eyes. Everybody's up, close your eyes. So we ain't got to look anywhere. I want you to be honest. I mean honest. How many would raise that hand and say, I work around problems and work with problems constantly. Put that hand up. I work with problems constantly. Every hand should be up. Every hand. Nobody's looking. When nobody else is looking, I want you to do this. I want you to, you got one hand up. And sometimes you're overwhelmed by all the problems. Put that other hand up. Now, while both hands are up, we're going to do something that's contradictory to your spirit. It's contradictory to what you're feeling when you're going through these problems. We're going to praise God. We're going to worship him. We're going to talk more about that next week, but I want us to worship him right now. And we're going to worship him with adoration, and we're going to adore him. Right now, with our mouths, I want you to go ahead and I want you to start praising God and I want you to start thanking him because he has the answer. Father, we thank you. You're awesome. You're powerful. You're mighty. There's nobody like you. I don't understand these problems, but you do. I don't understand why I'm waiting, but you do. And God, I trust you. You are my God. You are my Lord. You are able. Thank you, Lord. Come on, people, worship him. You're able, God. I give these problems to you. You are worthy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. This week, every morning, you start off with worship. You end the day with worship. And in between, you worship all the times you can think about it to the point where you just start worshiping. I don't have to even remind yourself. And when you find yourself in problems, you start worshiping first. Worship first because the problems cannot be greater than your worship to God. Now, everybody's head. Close your eyes. If you're here today and you and God are not on speaking terms, you and God have gotten far apart, and you're needing God to come back strong in your life with nobody looking. I'm not going to call you out. You don't have to come up here. When nobody else is looking, would you put that hand up and say, I really need to get back where I should be with God? Would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Next, if you're here today and you've let your problems rob you of your praise and rob you of your worship to God, and you know what I don't have to tell you, you know if those problems have robbed you of your praise and worship. Nobody looking around. Would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, Pastor. I let it get the best of me. One more thing. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor, I really, really, really need to learn how to let my praise be louder than my pain. And I need to let my worship override my negative thoughts and negative patterns. If I'm talking to you right now and you're saying, I just need help, nobody looking around, would you put that hand up? I need help getting past that negative. I need help, God. I need you to help me to learn how to worship and let worship sound out over the pain. Let's pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, giving me what I don't deserve. I thank you for your mercy, withholding that I do deserve, punishment. I thank you for that, God, holding it back. And Father, I thank you for this day and this opportunity to draw closer to you. I ask you right now to take me like I am and change me into what you would have me be. And let me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to allow my praise to be louder than my pain. And I thank you for that, Lord. I know, God, you have much more in store. Help me to work with you, not against you, as you're trying to push me into my calling. Instead, Lord, guide me into my calling and help me to follow. And I thank you. Lord, right now, I give this day to you. I give my life to you. I give my praise to you. I worship you and I adore you. This day is your day, and we know it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for it all. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. God's awesome. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Remember this week, this is your assignment. Check your focus. What are you? Actually, if you're not careful, you will be worshiping your pain versus worshiping the pain taker. When your mind is totally on your problems, guess what you're worshiping? Your problem. Get your focus. Check your focus. Where's my focus? And once I get it on God, let it grow. Let it grow by through his word and through practice. And lock in like a laser. Nobody's going to change me. And with that in mind, not this week, but coming up in the next few weeks, and we're going to put it on Facebook too, is we're going to do a couple of, maybe 12 weeks or longer on how to study the Bible. So that's going to be the Tuesday night's Bible study. So if you can come, be here for that. And if you can't, it's going to be on Facebook, how to study the Bible. And I'm looking forward to something special. And God always does something special. Always. So we're going to trust him. So, everybody good? That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. God's good. God's good. Give the Lord a hand clap. Pray. And remember my dad. He's 84. He just had to put his dog down. And he had dog for like 12 years. And my stepmom's got Alzheimer's. And so they just make sure go down further. And so dad was in bad shape when I talked to him this morning. So just remember David, Big David. Although I'm bigger than he is, Big David. Still remember Big David and my daddy and his wife. And Linda Martin. Linda Martin's still in the hospital, but she's got the greatest attitude. Yeah, we had a good time yesterday, a real good time last night. And so to be in all that, she's tough, got a good attitude, and we thank God for that. All right, so we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, then you dismiss us in prayer, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.